things first, a man was shot and killed at a Bronx deli over a stupid argument. Check it out.
Tonight, police are looking for the person who shot and killed a man inside a deli this morning in the Bronx. People in that neighborhood tonight sick and tired and scared about what is happening in their community. Eyewitness News reporter Anthony Carlo has the story from Morris Heights.
Tonight, as investigators remove bag loads of evidence from a Bronx deli, a lone candle burns outside for a life that was taken.
I'm not feeling no good, so my friend died.
A life, friends say, that was troubled, providing us with this photo. They knew him as Felipe.
He's a good guy, but make it too much of a mistake. The drug.
The victim, police say, a man in his 30s, was gunned down inside the bodega on University Avenue just before 7:30 in the morning, adding to the hesitation those in the community have about walking this way.
No. How do y'all kill people at 7:30 in the morning? 7:30 in the morning, y'all getting into an argument inside of a Bronx bodega, and somebody lose their life.
No, never. I never go inside.
Why? Why not?
No, I don't want it.
But it's what community members say goes on right out front of the store that troubles them daily.
I come in here, very be careful, but this area very dangerous.
This man who did not want to show his face says it's a hot spot for illicit activity.
You know, it's the problem. Some people come in here to buy the drug. You know, they buy the drug. Let's go.
Our community members tell us there is often a police presence in this neighborhood, but nothing seems to be done about the congregating that goes on out in front of this bodega. So they say it continues to be a trouble spot in their neighborhood.
They put at risk the people, the customer and the employee at the store.
12 hours after the deadly shooting, police continued their investigation. Friends of the victim say he often slept in the basement of the deli. He would always say he would change, this childhood friend tells us.
Does anybody speak English as their native language in New York or the Bronx? Every single person that they're interviewing is speaking with a different language, a different accent. Is it anybody that's actually speaking English? And I'm wondering, have we brought so many different people over here from different cultures that the very fabric of what America is has changed now to where we don't even operate on American standards anymore? It's standards from everybody else. People is doing whatever they want to do. They bring in a culture, they fighting, they killing, they stealing, they destroying. And I'm trying to figure out, what is American culture now? Nobody in New York speaks fluent English. Yes, you're right, Night J. United States of America is a melting pot, but it still should be a standard. You can't go over to the Middle East. You can't go over to the UAE. You can't go over to Dubai and change their culture. You have to integrate. You can't then bring your stuff over and say, oh, no, we a representation. We want rights too. This whole country is just absolutely falling apart. Straight up, this whole country is falling apart. And other quick hits on top of that, Brandon Johnson has decided to have a unified sheltering system, which is basically them combining homeless shelters with migrant shelters in order to save money for this budget deficit. Check it out.
Mayor Brandon Johnson announcing major changes to the way Chicago deals with new migrants.
And WGN political reporter Tamon Bradley starts us off by joining us with the details. Tamon.
Ray and Micah, good evening. Faced with a staggering budget deficit, the Johnson administration has announced a major overhaul of migrant services. Chicago is set to end its migrant shelter system. By the end of the year, the Johnson administration will combine efforts to help migrants and the homeless. New arrivals will no longer be guaranteed a shelter bed.
We are now able to shift from a large-scale crisis response to a more cost-effective, equitable, and strategic approach that addresses homelessness for all who need support.
Under the shift, the city is eliminating 30-day shelter extensions for most residents, changing hours of the landing zone, closing the State of Illinois Intake Center, and saying that only migrants who've been in the country less than a month will be eligible for a shelter spot. The overhaul comes 1 year after busloads of migrants from the southern border arrived almost every day. The influx overwhelmed city resources and led to migrants sleeping at police stations and airports.
At the peak, there were 12 to 15 buses arriving daily and 15,000 beds in operation.
Since August 2022, when Texas Governor Greg Abbott's busing program began, just over 50,000 migrants have come to Chicago. This morning, there were 4,996 residents in 13 shelters and 21 people awaiting placement.
I just want the people of Chicago to know how appreciative I am of their dopeness.
What did you just say?
How appreciative I am of their dopeness. Chicago to know how appreciative I am of their dopeness.
Okay, first and foremost, we know that they watching the Millionaire Morning Show. Okay? First and foremost, we know that they watch the Millionaire Morning Show. We know that for a fact. Secondly, he trying so hard to be a part of the Cool Kids Club instead of being what the people of Chicago actually need. Come on, man. What are we talking about, bro? What are we talking about? I don't understand it.
There's nowhere else on the planet that has been able to stand the test of time in this crisis.
The changes come as the mayor wrestles with a nearly $1 billion budget shortfall. The one shelter system will add 3,800 beds. Mayor Johnson is not ready to say how much that's going to cost.
There will be an ask, but the ask is to respond to this one shelter system. That is the ask. We're asking City Council, the City of Chicago, to embrace an historic moment.
Today, Governor Pritzker said the state, which is partnered with Chicago in the humanitarian effort, worked on the revised plan.
I think everybody understands we all have the interests of the community as well as the migrants in mind.
This belt tightening follows the defeat earlier this year of Bring Chicago Home, a tax on high-end real estate transfers to fund homeless services.
They're trying to basically become Chicago light. Los Angeles light. Anybody that's paid attention to the politics over in California and the politics over in Los Angeles, this is basically what they're trying to do. They're trying to tax higher-end individuals or people that have higher real estate transactions to then pull from them and then continue to fund social services while at the same time raising property taxes in order to fund the migrant crisis and the initiatives and plug budget shortfalls. And so that's basically what Chicago is doing. They can talk about dopeness. They can steal terms. They can go back and forth. This isn't something that they're trying to do on their own. This is something that they're trying to do in order to save money because of budget constraints, because they facing a $250 million shortfall this year and a $1 billion shortfall next year. So if you are in Chicago, buckle up. Buckle up if you are in Chicago. You are in for a hell of a ride over the next 20 years. Let me say it again for the people in the back. If you are a resident of Chicago, buckle up. You are in for a hell of a ride over the next 20 years. And unless y'all get somebody to come in and completely upend the political system that's then putting y'all in this bad position in the first place, y'all are going to suffer bad. And I feel bad for the older residents because y'all won't see the turn. See, over in here in Detroit, well, I'm in Atlanta right now, we've seen a turnaround and now everything is going well. You guys are basically going through what we went through, but exponentially on a worse level because you have a larger population and people are going to suffer and y'all don't even own y'all streets till like 2080. So that's what's happening over in Chicago. And then last but not least, a man killed his coworker because he was obsessed with her. And he was obsessed with how many breaks that she was taking. Check it out.
Louisville police say a man murdered his coworker because he became obsessed with her and focused on how many breaks she was taking at work. 51-year-old Travis Merrill is charged with murder. Court documents reveal that after his coworker complained about him obsessing over her, he created a detailed plan to kill her in front of their coworkers because she, quote, caused him pain, and he wanted her to feel it too. Fox 4's David Centenary spoke with the suspect's neighbors. David.
Well, neighbors of the suspected killer say he was a bit off, but they had no idea he was charged with murder until we told them today.
I see him all the time.
Darcy White says he never had a good feeling about his Louisville neighbor, 51-year-old Travis Merrill.
I kind of felt something strange about him.
White says on Sunday, a relative of Merrill's was moving and giving away belongings from Merrill's apartment.
He gave me these shirts. He said son had to go out of town.
It was not until Fox 4 told White on Monday, however, the reason Merrill is no longer his neighbor is because Merrill is charged with murder.
And so this is that man's shirts. I have a killer's shirts.
According to an arrest warrant, Merrill walked into Allegiance Trucking in Louisville on October 17th, where he worked and shot and killed Tamara Collazo, a female coworker. The affidavit says Merrill admitted to police he was obsessed with Collazo and began getting ever increasingly angry by her taking what he considered to be unauthorized long breaks during work hours, as well as not paying any attention to him.
Y'all gotta be careful who y'all befriend. I said last night on Hardly Initiated that everybody is not your people. Everybody is not going in the same direction that y'all going in, especially women. Look, man, y'all keep being so nice. I got a homegirl that I coach, and she just so nice. So nice to everybody. And it's a way that you can be nice while at the same time being assertive with what your standards are so that you don't create false expectations from people that then every time they see you, they want to hug. Every time that you run into them, it's hey, my girl, hey, friend, all of this stuff. You know, a lot of times, and I understand it because women just be trying to get out of the situation or they just fall back into what they naturally are. But I'm trying to tell y'all that there are some people that look at you as food. And while you sitting here playing games and saying, oh, that's not my natural way to be this way or whatever. And I'm not telling you to change what's natural about you. But what I am telling you is that you have to let people up know up front in your nice, feminine, polite way. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm married. I'm in a situation already and that wouldn't be appropriate for me to be on, for me to, you know, no, it's not okay if you get my number and contact me from somebody else. No, it's not okay. It's not this and that because you don't know these people. You think you know them. You think that everybody is just on the up and up, but I'm telling you that there's some people that's doing some stuff behind the scenes. Man, if y'all went home and could be a fly on the wall to see what some of these people's life is like in real life behind the scenes, you would be absolutely surprised. Can we be candid? Can we get to it? I'm in Atlanta right now, so we're in the home of the Zesties and the Sassies anyway. We might as well get there. Is some people that's really bottoms. It's some people that got some bodies that murders has never been solved for. It's some people that then touched some people in their lifetime. It's people that go home and every single day they rub one out or two out or three out and they watch porn all day. It's some people doing some wild things when they go home and they didn't wash their hands before they left out. I be mad when I go into the airport bathroom after I catch a flight and I wash my hands and I see people just walking out the bathroom. I'll be like, ooh, you just did a number three. He did a one, two, one plus two. He didn't even just do a number one or a number two. They shaking and it's pee all in their pants. They still peeing in their pants when they get off the urinal. Y'all ever walk past some of these women's bathrooms? It be foul. Some of these women's bathrooms be foul. It's some dudes out here that can't wait to give you a hug and then they preserve that shirt and they be sniffing it at home. Can't wait to get a pair of your panties. I'm telling you, man, look, it's some people that got some real issues in life. And if y'all don't start setting boundaries and if y'all don't start being stay in your femininity, but set some hard line boundaries, they're going to be sniffing your hugs. Every time you hug, oh, can I get a hug? And then they be behind you like this, trying to take in your scent. And spirits is in people also. I want to tell y'all that also. It's some spirits in people that leap off into you. And when you're around certain people or when you shake their hand or when you hug them, that's why you got to wash your hands often. Because it's not just about being clean. It's also being released from those demonic spirits because people carry these spirits with them every day. And I know that y'all ain't believers. I know that y'all don't believe in spirituality. But I'm trying to tell you, it's a real thing.